April is here, and if your windows won't open for fresh air or seal tight to keep out pollen and bugs, then talk to Window Nation. Right now, for every two windows you buy, you'll get two free. There's no limit to how much you can save. Plus, save even more with no interest or payments for 24 months. With proven quality, you'll get affordable windows that meet or beat the national brands. Don't miss out. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com to schedule your free in-home estimate.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode of BGN Radio is brought to you by Clip It, the hottest app that is out there. Watch TV, make clips, and share. For more information, check them out at clipit.tv or check them on Twitter at clipit.tv.
Welcome on in to the 32nd, a.k.a. the Michael Lewis, I guess, edition of the Counterpoint Podcast, brought to you by BGN Radio and BGNRadio.com and BleedingGreenNation.com, which I wrote an article for yesterday about this whole Carson Wentz isn't a Super Bowl winning quarterback, and I didn't think it was like such a hot take. But people got pretty angry at me, and if you listened to episode 309 of BGN Radio, you would have heard James and I versus BLG and John Barchard. Yeah, they're wrong. It's not even a debate. It's arguing semantics. He's not a Super Bowl winning quarterback. When we're at the end of like that's the thing that sucked for me is if you guys have listened to this podcast from day one, obviously. I mean, you guys know how much I love Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz is one of the five most important people in my life. And for me to have to be the guy, the bad guy, in the situation hurt. I love Carson Wentz. I think he's going to win multiple titles here as the Super Bowl winning quarterback. But he just wasn't the Super Bowl winning quarterback this time. I don't know why that made people so angry. I don't think people like the truth, but that's just what it is. Now, I know you guys are saying this like, oh, sure, Jack, you love Carson. You're Fugazi fraud because of what happened in the last Counterpoint podcast. So I want to address that right off the bat. Very sorry. I was so embarrassed. I can't believe that I suggested that Mike Wallace should wear number 11. I have never been more disappointed in myself in my entire life. It was an egregious error. It was an error that... I mean, that's why I gave myself a self-ban for 10 days there. A 10-day ban, or however long it was since the last podcast. I couldn't stomach coming on here and having you guys trust me again. I lost the listeners because I foolishly got ahead of myself and thought Mike Wallace would look good in number 11. But I completely forgot that that is the number of our Lord and Savior, Carson Wentz. So... you know, that's on me. Hand up. I'm going to take full responsibility for my actions. It will never happen again. I can't believe it happened in the first place. I was all riled up. I was talking fast. When I talk fast, sometimes I blurt out things. And I made a huge mistake. I hope the trust tree forgives. I know the trust tree is a forgiving place. But it would have felt weird going any other direction to start this podcast than addressing... the ban that I gave myself, although a ban is a suspension. I suspended myself from the podcast because I didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve to come on and talk to you one-on-one because I messed up. I messed up, hand up, completely on me, and that's my sincere apology. But let's move on to Jack's headlines. Doug Peterson threw out the first pitch yesterday, and we're gonna check the scale on his balls, because he goes out with a Super Bowl trophy, holds it up, shows it to the whole crowd, like, yeah, motherfuckers, we did that shit, and I'm Big Balls Doug. Now I'm gonna go throw the first pitch. Doug went on the mound for a first pitch. You see these first pitches. You see these wimpy, less men than Doug Peterson go out there and throw their first pitches from in front of the mound. Doug's like, fuck that. I'm going right up on the mound. Goes right up on the mound and throws a perfect strike. I love Doug Peterson more and more every day. And him going out there, I mean, I tweeted it out before, which, again, you can always tweet, you can always follow me on Twitter at JackFritzWIP. I tweeted out that if he doesn't throw a strike, he's on the hot seat. Doug clearly read that tweet, and he took it personally, went out there. It wasn't a soft strike either. It was like, I'm going to put some gusto behind this, show that I was a quarterback in this league, and boom, strike. So, Doug went out there, slammed it on the table again with a Super Bowl trophy, threw a strike, and was like, yeah, it was beautiful. Jack's headline number two, the Eagles signed Richard Rodgers this week, who is an upgrade over Brent Celek, obviously. Although, see, I don't know, like, Richard Rodgers has, like, torched me in fantasy for, I think, 4 straight years, and I always forget that he never really used tight ends. I think Richard Rodgers is a good player. I think he's going to be a good player here. Carson, I mean, we know how much these guys use tight ends here. We know how much Doug uses tight ends. Carson loves his tight ends. Richard Rodgers is a major upgrade over Brent Celek. We'll probably see him more involved in the pass game than Brent Celek was, but I'm all in. I'm all in on Richard Rodgers. Headline number three, I vowed to never bring him up again, but, you know, he just becomes less and less credible and more of a troll every single day. It's like he is the most uncredible person in the media today, and it's not even particularly close. So Kian, our good buddy Kian Fahey, who is out of a job. I don't think he has a job. He doesn't work for ESPN anymore because he got fired from there because he sucks ass. And he did, in fact, this is true, he ranked Dak over Wentz last year for his performance. He ranked Dak, who sucked last year, above the guy who was going to be the MVP in the league, because Kian Fahey, boy, does he really, really know football. He knows more about football than every single person on the internet. Now, I know a lot of you probably didn't see that because you're all blocked by him, but thank God I have multiple accounts, and I saw that he, in fact, did that monstrosity. Monstrosity? I don't think that's a word. I think atrocity was the word I was looking for. Actually, monstrosity is definitely a word, but not in what I was going for there. See, here's how my brain works sometimes. My brain works sometimes where it's like, I want to sound really smart here, really hammer home a point, but every time I go to try to hammer home a point, I just blurt out some big word that has nothing to do with the conversation. Like the other day, I was talking about I have a bigger lexicon than someone else, but I was talking about like depth of knowledge instead of vocabulary. It's just how my brain works. It's a bad brain. It's a brain that tries to use big words to sound smarter than they really are, even though not smart at all. And that's what just happened right there. I'm sorry again. Listen, man, tough start to this episode. Just a bunch of bad Jack moments. And four, guys, I finally did it. I unfollowed Matt Lombardo on Twitter. It was a long time coming, but now he's moving on to go cover the Giants beat. Poor Giants fans. You get stuck with Matt Lombardo, and I'm just waiting. I haven't seen it yet. Now, he might have already written this article, but has he written an article about how the Giants should draft Saquon Barkley at number two yet? Because I know that article's coming. I know he's sitting there squatting on that article to come out, and I can't wait. I can't wait to find it, or I can't wait for it to come out. If it comes out and I missed it and you keep following Matt Lombardo, just tweet it at me. Now, we have a wedding update. So, August 25th, Don't tweet at Jill that pause. That was a pause. I knew the date. Okay, it was a little bit of a pause. I knew the date. August 25th. Very quick. Don't be a dick. Okay. My wedding date is August 25th. And a couple weeks ago, I saw on Twitter a video of the party coming out of, I guess, wherever they're getting pictures and into the reception after the wedding. And they do this like introduction thing. I don't know. Whatever. I got to figure all that stuff out. I'm doing bad at this whole wedding planning thing. I'm just like, yeah, that looks good. I agreed. And I'm just doing my best. I'm trying to stay out of the way. Because, like, really, they don't, like, the wife in this situation doesn't really want you to be a part of the wedding planning. It's just like they factor in your opinion and then do whatever they want to do anyway. So I'm just, like, cutting out the middleman. Like, I'll put in my input, and then it's like, well, I disagree. And I'm like, all right, then whatever, it's fine. I'm just, you know, there be me. Anyway, so when they do that, they introduce the whole wedding party. I've been noticing a trend of people doing the Philly special when they introduce the whole wedding party. And I'm working on it. I'm working on Jill. It's going to happen. I have to make it happen. Because if I do this podcast, I am obviously a diseased Eagles fan. I think about the Eagles on a daily basis. I do this podcast, BGN, everything. Like, it'd be bad for my brand if I don't do the Philly special at my wedding. So I'm working on Jill. I think she's open to it. And the Philly special is going to occur at my wedding. And it's going to be glorious. Now, I want to take you guys back to the Super Bowl. Remember that game that we won that was super fun and all of that stuff? I don't know if you guys are like me, but whenever you're just randomly watching TV, flipping through the channels, and you see a Super Bowl highlight, you automatically stop whatever you're doing and just you sit there engrossed for like an hour. So the other day, they were showing highlights of Gronk just because of the whole he might get traded thing, he might retire thing, and they're showing him in the Super Bowl. I almost forgot how terrible. I think I just blacked out that first drive after the Super Bowl, because the first drive in the second half of the Super Bowl was the single most terrified I've been of anything in my entire life. When they came out and only threw to Gronk for an entire drive, I was petrified. Because I was like, I was all confident. First half, halftime, they go down, they do the Philly special. I'm like, oh, we got this. Actually, no, I never really thought we had it. But I was confident. I was like, okay, we're good, everything's fine right now. And then they did that. The Patriots came out, they fed Gronk for a whole drive, and I was like, oh, this is over. It's over. Game's over. Good morning, good afternoon, good night. They're just going to feed Gronk all the way to the Super Bowl championship. Obviously, that didn't happen, but I was just thinking back, and I was like, man, that was a very terrifying moment for me. Probably the most scared of anything I've been in my entire life, second half Gronk. And shout out to the Patriots for not just doing that every single time down the field, and shout out to Jim Schwartz for adjusting. But I did not like rehashing second half first drive Gronk. Finally, before we get to our interview with the one and only Chad Lewis, who again is an absolute legend, I just want to take a step back and rejoice, because earlier this week it was April Fool's Day. And April Fool's Day is fucking dead. April Fool's Day is fucking dead for all of you people out there who wrote your jokes about how the Eagles, they won a Super Bowl. April Fool's, so fucking funny. Guess what? That's dead. It's all dead. You can't make the April Fool's Day Eagles Super Bowl jokes anymore. April Fool's Day is fucking dead. I am done with it. It is over. I don't have to go on social media anymore, and I don't have to be ridiculed for not having a Super Bowl. It is all dead, gone, goodbye, April Fool's Day, dead. Now we can go back to making Cowboys jokes about April Fool's Day, how they haven't won since 1996, because it's over. I forgot how much I hated April Fool's Day. Guess what? April Fool's Day is fucking dead, in the ground, gone forever. Your jokes are dead. The Eagles won the Super Bowl. And guess what? By doing that, April Fool's Day is over. Today, I am joined by the one and only, the legend himself, Chad Lewis. Chad, what are you up to these days?
How come the people I played against didn't call me legend? They just called me Big Turkey.
And that's not what I heard from my friend Ike Reese here.
Ike Reese is the man. Love Ike Reese. You know why? Here's what made Ike great. He played with his heart and soul. He came to practice and games and gave every ounce of everything he had. And it was, that's what makes a team good, is when you have a whole bunch of people like Ike who are playing, you know, punching above their weight, playing with all they got, playing with passion. It just brings everything out of each other. And so Ike Reese deserves all the good that he gets because he earned it. He fought for it. He bled for it. That's a good dude, man.
He's a great guy. Now he's pouring all of that into the radio here. And eventually, at the end of this podcast, I'm going to need some dirt on him because me and him have a bunch of rivalries here, and I need to get a leg up, and I need your help with that.
I only know the good stuff. You're going to have to talk to someone else on the team who's got the dirt. I got no dirt.
So I was on your Twitter profile. Chet, do you have 7 kids?
I've got 7. It feels like a petting zoo at my house. There's people everywhere.
That's crazy. I mean, I'm 24, so if you need any help on connecting with the boys there, I'll help out if you need it.
Yeah, you got to get to work. You're 24. You got to get to work.
So I just want to be honest with you, Chad. I don't like that Brent Celek got a ring before you because you were the original Brent Celek.
That's right. I tried to give it everything I had. The good thing about Brent, he did. He played great. He played tough. He played big. He's got a big body. He covered, you know, a couple generations. So he had Donovan's career, and then in through the transition all the way to Carson Wentz to a Super Bowl ring. So I couldn't be happier for him. I felt like he was a great team leader. He was a warrior. He's a total Philadelphia dude. Played hard. I really liked the relationship he had with Zach Ertz. I thought those two guys, they played off each other well for a couple years. And so I was pumped when he got a ring. I was there. I was at the Super Bowl, so I was thrilled.
Oh, that's awesome. Did you feel any kind of like a sense of relief for like a monkey getting off your back when the Eagles like finally did it? Because I thought one of the cool things about working here and seeing Ike and John Ritchie and those guys was that they kind of rode the wave with us because they knew that their teams unfortunately didn't get it done, and now this team has a chance to get it done and get that proverbial monkey off of their back.
Yeah, I think all of us were thrilled. All of us felt like it was our team as well. You know, it just felt like this is the Eagles family and we just got a Super Bowl. And especially since Jeffrey Lurie is still the owner, he's such a visible person in the media, in the community. He's very involved. He's treated all of us so well. And it's still a family because of that. You know, you got Howie Roseman, Doug Peterson, coaching the team. Deuce Staley's there. So many guys are still there that for all of us, it just feels like family. It was, we all celebrated big time.
Now, when you first met Howie Roseman, did you think he was like a nerd that you're going to stuff into the locker real quick? Or what'd you think of Howie?
He was really young. And I talked to Andy Reid right off the bat when Howie showed up, and Andy was so complimentary of Howie. He said that he was not just a great guy, but he had a great feel for what he was doing. And as soon as I heard Andy talk about him that way, Howie didn't look like just a young guy to me. He looked like a football executive, someone that cared, that knew what he was doing, that had the confidence of the people around him. And so I've always looked at Howie just as a great dude. And I'm glad that Andy pulled me aside and gave me that window and perspective into what Howie does and who he is.
Yeah, I mean, I think Howie was pretty unfairly ridiculed here for a little bit. And to see where he came from to basically being moved to the different part of the NovaCare complex by the other coach and coming back to winning a Super Bowl and building that team. One of the cool redemption stories on a team really full of cool redemption stories.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing better in football as a sport. It's such a tough sport, such a physical sport, to have a story of redemption mixed in there. So it's only fitting in the city of Philadelphia that Howie Roseman also fits that story of redemption. And he's also got his eye on other stories of redemption. He's not afraid to go after someone like Michael Vick, who other people are both hands in the Heisman pose saying, we are not taking him. And Howie said, he's a very talented dude. He's a changed man. He has so much to give. And then you look at what they did. Jeffrey Lurie stepping way up. Howie, Andy, when they went and got Michael. Because who else on the entire planet is going to have an impact talking about, you know, dogfighting in the urban community? For years, that's what Michael was doing, is he was having an impact. And
yeah.
And it was really the vision of those guys willing to bring him into Philly, allow him to play football, and make an impact. And that's part of the story of redemption that I'm talking about. So there's some great people leading the Philadelphia Eagles organization.
If you guys did win the Super Bowl in 2005, would you have been the one to give the Jason Kelce speech? Because that's kind of what I was envisioning.
Look, I was hoping to drive away in the MVP truck, man. I would have been like on I-95 somewhere rolling. We all wanted to have that parade. We talked about it. We openly talked about it. We wanted to have that parade down Broad Street.
Yeah.
And I think every one of our guys celebrated. I wouldn't have done the Jason Kelce thing. I think John Ritchie would have done that.
Ritchie would have been great.
He's fun. He would have been classic up there. He would have been great.
What was Doug like as a teammate? I think you were here for half the year. He was only here for a year. Did you ever envision Doug turning into like an offensive wizard like he is?
He always had that ability because he was a quarterback. That's how his mind thinks and works. And as a quarterback, when I joined the team, when Doug was a quarterback, he took me in like I was like his brother or something. It was seamless. I remember going on the first road trip, and he was just like, what's up? I think when we went to Washington, D.C. and played the Redskins. And it was just so comfortable being around him, hanging out with him. Well, not everyone has that smooth ability just to accept people into their lives and their inner circle. Doug did. He had no problem.
And now he's doing it with this team.
I stayed in Doug's house. And it was just, Doug and Jeannie they've always been that way. Doesn't matter who you talk to, whether it's Brett Favre, whether it's Andy Reid, he's poised, he's cool, he's not rattled. I've never seen him rattled. I've never seen him nervous. So to watch the clip of him and Nick Foles and Nick saying, hey, let's run Philly special, he's like, all right, hang on. Yeah, okay, let's go, do it. Well, that's Doug.
Did you ever
play quarterback in the NFL? That totally helps him as a coach. It gives him that extra level of whatever, poise, confidence. He's got it.
Did you notice his huge balls when you were playing with him? Because he's got huge balls. He's big balls Doug here.
I just knew he was a stud. He's never changed. I went to Kansas City Chiefs game as he was a coordinator. And I talked to him on the sideline right before the game, and he's the same. I talked to him in the locker room afterwards, the same. He doesn't change. He's just absolutely Doug Peterson. I'm so glad he's the head coach.
Yeah, and so am I. I mean, kind of like, it's weird, though, because when you first meet him, you first hear him talk, you're like, well, this guy doesn't seem very smart. But then when you actually watch the way he coaches and the way he communicates with players, everyone just feels super comfortable. And he built a culture that was completely destroyed by the coach there before. Doug has just been – he's been everything you've wanted and more from a head coach. I can't believe it.
He's so cool. And just watching him throw the first pitch for the Phillies. He holds that thing. He's still got a nice arm.
Yeah.
And,
he threw it right down the middle, and he also went out with the Super Bowl trophy, which I thought was just – it was just Doug being like, yeah, we won the Super Bowl. Get over it.
he's a stud.
His
son. I like that he said, hey, get ready. This is going to be the new normal. Let's go.
I know. Everything he says, I think a week after the Super Bowl, he's already like preparing for the offseason or preparing for the next season pretty much immediately after. There was no downtime for Doug, and that's what makes Doug. So unfortunately, in the 2004 NFC Championship game, you broke your foot after scoring the touchdown to bring us to the Super Bowl. And there is audio of this. Now, I'm going to play this for you, and then I got a question for you. So let's listen in real quick.
I'm celebrating.
Come on! Let's do it! Yeah!
Now, that is a man that had no less than 90 beers after winning the NFC Championship game. How many beers did you have after winning the NFC Championship?
That's a man that's never tasted alcohol in his entire life. Being a foreman, that's something that is really important to me. I've never had a beer ever. So I've always had a lot of enthusiasm and energy for life. And at that moment, I knew we were going to the Super Bowl, and we had lost 3 NFC championships in a row. And that to celebrate that with my teammates on the sideline right then was just, I can still feel it.
Yeah, and honestly, we're going to go into the trust tree real quick. The trust tree is just a tree full of trust. I was 8. When you guys lost to the Buccaneers in 2002, does that make you feel a little old for a second?
No, that game was yesterday to me. That still hurts. That broke my heart.
So I went back and watched it before the Super Bowl run, just because I wanted to remember pretty much all the heartbreak, just so like I could just really feel it and get fully into the Super Bowl run. Do you think you guys might have lost because you had a defensive tackle playing middle linebacker in LeVon Kirkland?
Oh, man, I love LeVon. He was a great teammate.
I couldn't believe how huge that guy was.
He got put in some tough spots. I mean, who was the Penn State wide receiver that torches for a couple?
Was that Jarvicious?
Yeah, Jarvis had a nice game against us. And that wasn't very fun. I thought John Gruden came in with a very good game plan. He's an offensive wizard.
Well, cause Gruden,
I knew that we were going to win that game. I knew, especially after Brian Mitchell took that opening kickoff back and then Deuce Daly scored a touchdown. And the fact that we didn't, it still haunts me. That's not cool. That is not cool.
Well, I mean, it still haunts me, too. That was the first time I ever felt anger, and I didn't know why I was so angry because I was 8. And I was like, oh, so this is what it's like being a Philadelphia Eagles fan. But, hey, you know, it's all over now. All of that is done. The Super Bowl this year.
That's right.
I mean, for fans, obviously for you, it's a little different. But at least around
here. No, that game wiped it out. Our Super Bowl victory this year, that was good. That was a Ballman of Gilead that helped me.
Was the Bucks can't play in the cold the original fake news?
They were supposed to lose that game. It was cold. They came up and they just they had the right mindset. They laughed about the cold that game, and they just played better than we did and got us.
They 1-for-21 in cold weather games or something?
I think up to that point they were 0-4. I don't think they had ever won a game in cold weather.
Yeah. Well, it's okay. Like I said, it's all in the past now. We can move on. But I was watching LeVon Kirkland, and I thought Jim Johnson kept dropping his defensive tackle in coverage, and I was just shocked.
He's a big dude. He had a great career at Pittsburgh, so
he did. So when you were in college, you wore number 96. Now
that's right.
Why was that?
Because I walked on and they gave me 96, and I'm like, I'll take 00. I just want a spot on this team. So they gave me 96, and I kept it. And I said my senior year is going to be 96. This is going to mean a lot. And so my senior year, we went 14-1. We were the 5th best team in the country. I felt like I represented 96 well. And I was thrilled when I got to the pros and they gave me 89. I was happy about that.
Yeah,
96, that's a weird number.
Well, especially for a tight end. I just had never seen a tight end wear number 96 or a 90s number at all.
Let's say that's why I was not drafted in the pros. They kept looking at 96 like, this dude is rushed defensive end or what?
And then, I mean, you wore 89 well. 89 was a good number for Chad Lewis.
Yeah, that fits. I loved it.
Is T.O. more of an alpha dog than you for playing in the Super Bowl on a broken leg?
T.O. was a beast. I mean, he had a plate and 8 screws in his ankle.
Yeah.
They advised him not to play. he practiced, he prepared, and he went out and played in that game like a machine. I can't remember how many balls or yards, but it was ridiculous.
You should have gone on the hyperbaric chamber with him.
Yeah, wasn't enough room for two. I wish that I would have been able to play.
So
it
would have
been fun. It's kind of like Tony Finau dislocating his ankle and going out and playing in the Masters like he did yesterday. I want him to win that thing. But just for T.O. to do what he did, he'll go down in Eagles history as a warrior forever.
Definitely. Definitely. I completely agree. And unfortunately, you didn't get to play in that game, but neither did John Ritchie. You know, John Ritchie should have played in that game as well, and we could definitely rip on him for not playing.
Yeah, he tore his ACL, I think, in the Detroit game that year. So
yeah.
I think it was a brand new field. We went out there, we warmed up, it felt good. And when he got hurt, that wasn't right. He was a great member of our team. Josh Perry ended up stepping up big for us. But when he went down, that was just, I didn't like that at all. He was a fun teammate. He brought so much to the table. And then several games later, I went down too. That's a bummer.
Yeah, and now he's working here at WIP. Another great member of that team that is here. You guys are infiltrating our station. we have Hollis. We have Trey Thomas now. We have Ike. We have John Ritchie. Anything? You got any dirt on those guys that I can use in arguments?
Sheesh! I'm telling you. You got to go somewhere else for dirt. I got nothing. All I see from those guys was incredible effort, hard work, fun. Like they made our facility such a cool place to be. We wanted to get there in the morning.
Yeah.
We wanted to go to practice. We enjoyed being on the road together. That happens on fun, cool, excellent teams, and that totally happened with that team in 04.
Yeah,
and really, for a couple years there, we had unbelievable team chemistry for a couple years.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just messing around. Those guys are awesome. So, thanks for coming on, Chad. I really appreciate a few minutes from you, and thanks for all your contributions back in the day as a great Eagle, and now what you're doing at BYU.
Yeah, you bet.
Shout out Chad Lewis. Chad Lewis is the best, and I hope you guys enjoyed that interview. He's a fun guy, super fun guy. All right, let's check the Counterpoint mailbag. From Cameron Reynolds. Hey, Jack, I've been an Eagles fan since 2008 when I first got into football and have loved every second of it. But I've never gotten into basketball in the same way. I've lived in South Texas all my life, surrounded by terrible, awful, smug, crybaby Cowboys fans, I might add. Listen, man, at least the Cowboys fans in Texas are from there and, like, sort of get the culture. Like, the ones from around here who have never been to Texas in their entire life, like, you don't know smug, terrible, awful crybabies until you meet those people. So just be aware of that, Cameron. So, of course, I love my Spurs and all that they represent in the sense of a pure team basketball. I'm starting to see the same things happen with the Sixers, and they are so fun to watch. My question is, since I have been an Eagles fan for so long and a fan of Philly in general, if I could be allowed to be a fan of a second team being the Sixers. P.S. Keep up the great work you do as well as the rest of BGN Radio. I appreciate that. Yeah, listen. Here's the thing. I will allow you to be a Sixers fan as long as you didn't shit on the process. Like, if you shit on the process and you were like, oh, it'll never work, Sam Hinkie's a fraud, he doesn't know what he's doing, then no, you're not allowed to be a Sixers fan. But if you were like, hey, this is actually a super interesting, innovative idea, Brett Brown's a great coach, all this stuff, sure. Sure, the Sixers are awesome. And they have a little Eagles thing-ish going on right now that is super, super fun. I can't wait for tonight, which is Friday, April 6th, because tonight they play the Cleveland Cavaliers against LeBron James, who is going down. from Julia Manring. Hey, Jack, I have a drastically important question. That's what I'm here for. All of your important questions I will answer. I'm from Cleveland. Sorry. Listen, Julia, sorry. I went to Cleveland once, and it was horrible. Like, it was a miserable experience. I can't believe LeBron went back there, but I would have ran. Anyway, but I became an Eagles fan when the Browns left and stayed an Eagles fan when they came back because they were a horribly run organization. Am I allowed in the trust tree? Also, would you say there's a jersey that's worn by fake fans than real diseased fans? So for your second question, I really, this is going to sound harsh, but I really think I get pretty upset when I see people wearing Donovan jerseys. We're out on Donovan. Donovan is dead here. Donovan is not allowed to be around this team. He doesn't take any credit for anything that ever happened here recently. Obviously, what he did here was fine. But I'm out on Donovan. Donovan is super. So if I see an Eagles fan wearing a Donovan jersey, yeah, they're fake. They're a fake to me. As for you being allowed in the trust tree, you're allowed in the trust tree, but it's going to take a little while to build up the trust. You know, Cleveland, like, being a Browns fan and then just deciding to be an Eagles fan, maybe we'll have to get a quiz on you just to see where we're going. The trust tree, I mean, listen, it was a very vague email. You're just like, hey, I was a Browns fan, and then they left, and then I was an Eagles fan. The trust tree is a forgiving place, but it's also a place of vulnerability. And I don't know if we can just allow an infiltrator, a person that jumped from being a Browns fan to an Eagles fan. I don't know. We'll see what the trust tree says. Right now, I got some questions. I might have to send you a questionnaire. From John Barber. Hey Jack, as a diseased Philly sports fan, is there ever an appropriate time to wear a shirt for any other pro team outside of the city, like for a player you enjoy watching? Keep succeeding, John Barber. So, no, there's not. And I've learned this at a younger age, because one of my best friends used to wear a Braves hat, and I used to get really mad at him because they're the Braves. They're in our division. You can't wear a Braves hat. I don't care how. I don't care if it looks cool, if it's a player you enjoy. I don't care. You can root for that player without wearing his jersey. Like I'm very much out on that. Now, this is coming from a kid who in 2004 I used to wear a Curt Schilling jersey around. Now that don't tweet me like, oh, what are you support Curt Schilling for everything? No, okay, I didn't know Curt Schilling was a psychopath. Okay, I like the pitcher Curt Schilling, and I still think he's a Hall of Famer, and I don't care what anyone says, because for a 7-year window there, I would have taken him starting a big game over just about anyone in the sport. So save your Curt Schilling takes. I wasn't supporting Curt Schilling. I liked Curt Schilling as a pitcher, and I kind of emulated his pitching. So calm down there. Put down the pitchforks. No, you cannot wear a jersey. That is a major violation. I don't care if you like other players. It's fine to like other players. I like other players, especially in the NBA, but I would never wear their jersey. No, that is something that cannot happen. From Demetrius Brooks, hard-hitting free agency question here. What jersey number are you most excited about becoming available, and for who? I have to go with P. Rob leaving number 21 behind for Ronald Darby. Yeah, I mean, first off, we got to get Ronald Darby out of 41. 41 is a dog shit number. I am all in on him wearing 21. Now, when I was doing my research for this episode, and I came across this question, I wanted Sidney Jones to wear number 24 because of Corey Graham. And listen, I told you, it's been a tough episode. I forgot for a second how bad cornerbacks are that wear number 24 here. Nnamdi being number one, Bradley Fletcher being number two. The number 24, and Corey Graham wasn't anything special, but like 24 is dead here. And I'm sorry that I for a second thought maybe Sidney Jones would look great in 24. He would look great in 24, just he's not allowed to wear it. 24 is retired for the right reasons. It's retired because no one can ever wear that jersey again because it's dead. Everyone who wears 24 sucks in an Eagles jersey at the cornerback position. So I'm sorry that I did that. That's on me again. Trust tree. Listen, you're going to have to really trust me this week because it's been a rough one. Let's see. Actually, no. I'm going to read this one. It's from John Barber again. I guess he really missed the trust tree. Jack, Worlow. Yeah, they signed Paul Worlow. Worlow. I don't know. Kind of sounds like Worley. If you're out on Worley, does this mean we are out on Paul by proxy? No, because he's a local guy, and we always love local guys. But my new life mission is to get Daryl Worley on this podcast and tell him why I am disappointed in him. That is my new goal for counterpoint. I got Chad Lewis on. Now it's time for Daryl Worley. From Lou Millinghausen. Dear Jack, I've noticed that there hasn't been a counterpoint episode in over 10 days. I have noticed this, and that is not okay. Please rectify. Thanks. Well, I rectified it. I told you I gave myself a suspension. Lou also adds, he said that Howie Strokes is weird. Sorry. The imagery it evokes has the potential to ruin the joy of a great Howie deal. I hold this show and the Trust Street community to a higher standard. We can do better. Okay. Listen, man. Lou's out on Howie Strokes. I liked Howie Strokes. If other people don't like Howie Strokes, we'll change it. From Jack Cole, big fan of the show, love the podcast. I have a couple things to talk about today. First, I've been hearing about how people cried when the Eagles won the Super Bowl. I'm 17 and haven't nearly experienced such heartbreak like other fans. Am I a bad person? Jack, you should have been in tears. Like, you should have been in tears. I'm sorry. You got to be in tears when they win the Super Bowl. You're not a bad person, but I expect better. I expect if you're in the Trust Tree, you listen to this podcast, I need you in tears. It's pretty much as simple as that. From Andrew Johnson. So Howie's a football guy now, but he's also a big believer in the Trust Tree. He is. He listens to the podcast. He takes my advice. I think he needs a tighter suit because his suits are just too big. Hypothetically, he takes a day off and lets you make 2 to 3 moves. What would they be? So I would trade Foles for the 1,000th time. I would trade Nick Foles. I would get some stuff back for him. Whatever. I would trade his ass because Carson's playing week 1, baby. Second, listen, I know this probably isn't possible, but I want them to trade up for Roquan Smith or Tremaine Edmonds. That's a first draft take. Honestly, I can't believe we haven't talked about the draft at all, because usually when the Eagles don't win the Super Bowl, we talk about the draft for like 4 months. Guess what? That's done. We are done. We don't have to do that anymore. I heard a promo the other day. We're 24 days from the draft. Holy shit. I never start focusing on the draft. I would usually be full in draft mode this right now. But now I don't have to be because we won the Super Bowl. And I just haven't been fully in on the draft. But I, for some reason, I cannot get over the fact that I want a Hall of Fame linebacker here. I want a dope linebacker more than anything. And I love Nigel Bradham and Jordan Hicks, like all in on Jordan Hicks. Jordan Hicks is a monster. I love him. But I just, like last year's Reuben Foster was my guy. This year it's Roquan Smith or Tremaine Edmonds. I want a nasty linebacker. I don't know why I want a nasty linebacker. I just want one. Okay? They're both, listen, Nigel Bradham and Jordan Hicks are both nasty. They're awesome. I just want another one. I want beasts. I love linebackers. I think linebacker is my favorite position in football, besides quarterback and running back. And I love everything about football, but I really want a fun linebacker. So just get me one of those guys. Or Sean Evans. One of the, whatever. You know what I mean. Come on, Howie. Come on. Go get him. Randy Harn. Hey, Jack. He's a Trust Tree member since episode 1. Thanks. That's cool. I've seen a lot of counterpoint slander recently on Twitter and on bleedinggreennation.com. Some people say they hate the show. And listen, if you hate Counterpoint, that's a you problem. It's a you problem. Counterpoint is too dumb to be hated on. Too dumb and fun to be hated on. So if you don't like Counterpoint, that's a you problem. Get out of here. Anyway, from Randy Harn. Hey, Jack, the name is Randy. Love the show. BGN over anything. And Tom Brady, since the Eagles beat him in the Super Bowl by a score of 41-33. Shout out to that. I saw a few rumors flying around about Jordan Howard. He's obviously a terrific running back, a Joe Douglas guy. With the Eagles not having a second or third round pick draft capital at the moment, do we shoot a trade over? Is this where old Michael Kendricks ends up after all these years of torment on the trade block? If you want my opinion on it, he's under contract through 2019 and very cheap for his talent. If Chicago would take Michael Kendricks in a 2018 fourth, I would be screaming to the trade phone. But on the other hand, we have Joe Douglas, and he found Howard a few rounds later. And unless Geis is at 32, we can probably get a half-decent running back without losing a pick or shipping someone off. If the price is right, I say shoot. Thanks if you put this on the show, which I did. Go Birds, and tell John and BLG Carson is the GOAT, but not a Super Bowl-winning quarterback. God bless. Yeah, I mean, obviously he's not a Super Bowl winning quarterback. We went over that. But listen, I saw that too, and I was wondering if they would go get him. I love Jordan Howard, and I think he's really, really good and really underrated. And the only reason he's underrated is because he plays in Chicago. I would be all in on getting Jordan Howard. Now, I don't think they will because they don't sell the draft capital. But if it's Michael Kendricks in a fourth, and you know you're probably not paying Jay Ajayi next year, I'd be in. I'd be all in. Put Ajayi in the deal. No, I wouldn't put Ajayi in the deal. Well, maybe. I don't know. I love Jordan Howard. I'd be super in on getting him, and that'd be fun. Let's head over to Twitter from El Patron. Big fan of the show from Scotland. Wow. Respect your opinion on Wentz. As good as he is, he's still not. He doesn't want the big one, which makes it all the sweeter when he eventually does. I agree. Like, here's the thing. Carson Wentz doesn't think he's a Super Bowl champion. I mean, obviously he's a Super Bowl champion, but he doesn't consider himself a Super Bowl winning quarterback. That was Nick Foles' Super Bowl. I'm sorry. And I don't think Carson Wentz feels the same way. I think he agrees with James Seltzer and I, and that's why me and Carson would be best friends. I've had that thought for a while. I think Carson and I would be really good friends, and we would agree on this, and we'd ride off into the sunset together. My question is it time the Eagles abolish punting and the extra point? Who needs them? I've actually wondered this for a long time. It would be pretty cool if there was no punting or an extra point. Like, who needs an extra point? Go for it all the time. I don't know. I mean, punting should stay. The extra point, though, I'm sort of with you. I'm not ready to get rid of it, but I wonder what football would look like. And honestly, but here's the thing. Yeah, keep it in there because Doug will continue going for it and continue with that. So I don't want other teams just trying to take away from Big Balls Doug. From Philip Dudley, can the Sixers make a real run in the East? They're looking very tough route right now. Yeah. The Sixers can definitely make a real run in the East, especially with Kyrie out. LeBron's pretty much the only guy on that team now. He doesn't have his second star that he can rely upon. Fuck out of here with Kevin Love. They can definitely make a run. Toronto, I mean, they're chokers. I mean, Kyle Lowry is from here, sure. Choker. Absolute choker. Now, DeRozan I'm terrified of, because every time we play DeRozan, he goes for like 30-plus easily. from Lonus, who said that his favorite counterpoint episode was the one where I ranted about deer, because deer are assholes. How do you feel about athletes whose first and last initials are the same letter? I think that's on the parents. Like, that's just bad, lazy parenting. I was actually having this thought the other day, because I had to call Dick Girardi on the phone, and I was like, how many dicks are going to be left? Like, you can't. Unless you, like, know your kid's going to be an asshole, like, you can't name your kid Dick anymore. Like, Dick is dead. Dick is very dead. Dick's dead. I don't think if I see a guy named Dick in my lifetime, like, let's say I'm 30, and I see a guy named Dick that is 40 and younger, I would be shocked. And I would honestly go up to that guy and be like, let me talk to your parents, get him on the phone, because you named your kid Dick. Dick's dead. That was a really long sidetrack. Let's get back on track. Let's go to Matt Gumbrecht. Grumbrecht or Gumbrecht? It's Grumbrecht. That's my bad. How would you announce the Eagles pick at the draft in Dallas? The best troll Cowboys fan is the Cowboys fans. Is there a specific player you'd like to see announce the pick for the Eagles for that purpose? Listen, there's a bunch of candidates. Obviously, the answer that most people would say is Doc, and I agree. I think Doc would be great. I think it'd be funny. I would also be all in on Jason Kelce, just continuing to do it. Jason Kelce to announce the pick is something that I'm very much here for. Very much here for. Or if I really wanted to do it, if I really wanted to be an asshole, I am bringing Drew Pearson out, and I'm making Drew Pearson announce that pick, announce that goddamn Super Bowl champion pick. Drew Pearson is the answer I would personally go with, because what he did last year in Philadelphia was something that I will never get over. I will never get over what Drew Pearson did to the city. And I want him to have to go out there and announce that pick as a Super Bowl champion to his people. His people that he got all riled up last year. Oh, the Cowboys. We have such a storied tradition. You don't have shit. Drew Pearson. I need Drew Pearson to announce that first round pick. Drew Pearson is the correct answer. Finally, from James Tillett. Now, he responded to my ploy for questions with a new counterpart episode. Let me address the counterpart, counterpoint thing that the Kist and Solak show is trying to catch on. I would have to listen to the Kist and Solak show to understand the jokes they make, because I didn't hear it because I haven't listened. So it was sent to me on Twitter, because I haven't listened to the Kist and Solak show. And that's all I've got to say about that. That's going to do it for episode 32 of the Counterpoint Podcast. I'll be back next week. I promise I'll be back next week. Keep sending in your ideas for who you want me to interview. Chad Lewis is great today. I love Chad. And I'll talk to you next week. I did not do anything on this episode that should be a self-imposed suspension. So I will be back next week with hopefully a fun guest again. And we'll see.
This is what, your second record, and it's the song you wrote.
Yes, I write most of the stuff.